It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Matthew, chapter 16. We are going to start from verse 1.
The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed.
Now here we see Pharisees and Sadducees coming together, and they are asking Jesus Christ a question that gives us a sign from heaven. Now Sadducees and Pharisees, they are not believing the same thing. Sadducees do not believe in resurrection, and so they are not that friendly. But now here they are teaming up together to fight with Jesus and finding some faults. And so Jesus Christ gave them simple examples. You know the weather, and easily you can look at the sky and predict the weather. Why cannot you predict the signs of the times? And then he says in the verse 4, he says, wicked, adulterous generation, seek after the sign. And he said, there shall be not sign be given unto it, but the sign of prophet Jonah. And the word of God says, and he left them and departed. Sound like he did not answer their question. But as we studied the book of Matthew chapter 12 already, you know this question was asked before. Let's read Matthew chapter 12 verse 38 to 45. So that's why even though they knew the answer, Jesus Christ told them about the sign of the prophet Jonah. But these people are asking the same question again and again.
Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none.
So here we see Jesus Christ already gave the answer in this same book, but they are still coming and asking the questions. So Jesus Christ already said there's only one sign you will have, the prophet Jonah. And then he explained to them what the prophet Jonah's sign means in the chapter 12. So now let's read the Matthew chapter 16 verse 5.
And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
Now here what happened, the disciples forgot the bread. Always they travel, sometimes they carry the bread. You remember one time they didn't have the bread, but they found somebody had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus multiplied and gave it to more than 5,000. Next time they had 7 loaves and 2 fishes, he multiplied and gave it to 4,000. So now disciples might be thinking, well, we don't have to carry bread. Jesus Christ can do miracle all the time. So this time they did not take the bread. But Jesus Christ says, beware of leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. Disciple didn't understand what he was trying to say. Simple, common sense people will think the Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes always come to tell us against Christ, against his teaching. So beware of that teaching. This is simply he was saying, but disciple didn't understand. Let's read the verse 7.
And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread."
They start discussing among themselves. Not like when they're talking and Jesus can hear. They might have gone a little bit further and discussed. "We didn't take the bread." That's why he is trying to say this thing. Jesus knew the thoughts of the people. Whatever they're going to say, what is in their heart, because he was the Son of God and God himself. Many, many times Jesus Christ proved to people that before they could say something, they are just thinking about something, and he would say, "Why are you thinking something like this?" So see what happens, verse 8. Matthew 16, 8.
"Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?"
Now they understood. I did not talk about real bread. I was talking about the Sadducees, Pharisees and Sadducees, leaven. Verse 12, Matthew 16, 12.
"Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets."
Now, when he asked the question, what the people are thinking about me, then some people say he is the John the Baptist, some people say he is Elijah, some people say he is Jeremiah, some people say one of the prophets. Now, Moses prophesied about one prophet, but they did not want to see what that prophet was. Moses simply said, God is going to send a prophet just like me. That is in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Please read from verse 15 to 18, or even up to 19.
"Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him."
Moses was saying, you don't listen to me. I'm going to ask God to send a prophet just like me. And as soon as he was saying, God says, okay, that's what you want? That's what I'll do. I will send the prophet just like you. And if they don't listen to that prophet, those people will be punished. So they are saying, maybe one of that prophet came, so we don't know what the people are thinking about you. Different people are thinking about different things. Then Jesus Christ is asking, how about you? What you thinking? Matthew chapter 16, verse 15.
He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
See what happens here? Jesus Christ asks the question, and then Peter says, We know who you are. You are the Christ. Christ means the anointed one. Christ means who can give his life for the mankind. And you are the Son of the living God. So he is trying to admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not only that, He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. And He is going to give His life for mankind. And so He got the revelation. God just used Him, just like a God used donkey to preach. This Peter was not spirit-filled man or very knowledgeable in the Bible. He was just a fisherman. But God revealed to him who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God and He is the Messiah. This is just like a gift from God to explain to people. So all good gifts, all the good knowledge, all good things comes from above. So you are going to see God gives you good things. The enemy gives you bad things. We will see that later on. Let's read the verse 18.
And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Now, here we're saying, you are Peter means you are a rock. And then somebody says, Peter is a rock, and God is going to start the church on that rock. He was not saying, I'm going to start my church on you. Jesus was saying, what you confess. You confess I'm the Son of God. You confess I'm the Messiah. You confess I'm the Christ. And that is the foundational teaching you're going to give to people. And so that is the solid things you said. And this will be the main theme of your preaching. And on this preaching, on this thought, on this doctrine, or this teaching, I am going to establish my church. And then he says, when I establish my church, the devil or the devil's followers will not have any power to go against the church. Church will be always victorious. As we learn, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, the greater one lives in us. And that greater one can defeat anyone in the world, means devil or devils, any authority. So the children of God or the church is so powerful, church does not have to be afraid of enemy or the devil or the devil's tactic, because he has given us supernatural power. We have it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, devil trembles. You use the name of Jesus, you use the blood of Jesus, devil has no authority, no power over us. So that's why he said, devil will not prevail against you. He has no power, he has no strength. And that was the time he said, Jesus Christ was not even crucified at that time. When Jesus Christ crucified, he defeated the devil on the cross. He has no power like before. Before that, when the Daniel was praying and the devil stopped his prayer, and Michael has to come and fight with the devil, and then the answer came. It took 22 days. Today, many preachers will tell you, if your prayer is not answered, they will take the Daniel's example. He says, see, the devil attacked the prayer and answer was coming, but devil did not give the answer until 22 days. That one happened today. Because Jesus Christ died, defeated the enemy. Now enemy cannot block your prayer. Because once you pray, that prayer goes direct to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, and that prayer goes to the Father. Now we don't have to be worried like Old Testament people, our prayer will be blocked or our prayer will be hindered. Our prayer will not be hindered when you pray in the name of Jesus. Your prayer only hindered, you pray, oh God, bless me, oh God, do this, oh God, do this, amen. That prayer just go to ceiling and come down. It will not be answered. When you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And that's the prayer is answered. When you're finishing prayer, you say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. That's the prayer answered. Some people, the TV ministers, I see sometimes, they pray maybe 10 minutes and they say, praise the Lord. That prayer didn't go anywhere. When you pray, you say, in Jesus' name. Because God will not recognize anybody's prayer if that prayer doesn't come through Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for us, he rose again, and he is the one answers our prayers. Jesus Christ says, you never prayed, but now you pray in my name. And so we have to pray in Jesus' name, so the prayer will be answered. And then he said, in this rock, means the statement you give, on that rock, we will build the church. And that rock is what? Christ. Not the Peter. Christ. Teaching of Christ is solid rock. Okay, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and start reading from verse 9 to 11.
For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building.
We are God's building. We are God's temple. We are God's house. So how the house of God is built? Let's read a little bit further.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
So he said, Jesus Christ is the foundation. And so if anyone, there are so many churches today, there are Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon, and different people. Even the Mormon church, their name is what? Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, or so Christ Church, and all kinds of name they give. Their teaching is not founded on Christ. And so St. Paul says, I am just like a wise master builder. And I'm building on the foundation, which is the cornerstone, which is the foundation, that is Christ. And there my building, I'm building. And that building is the church. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 16, verse 19.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Now, here is the key to heaven. Now, what is the key? He says, first of all, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe the Messiah, if you believe the Son of God, and whatever you want, you ask in the name of Jesus. That's the key. If you go and pray without the name of Jesus, without believing in Jesus, prayer will not be answered. Some people say, I am just praying to God that bind this and loose that and this and that, and nothing is happening. It will not happen that way until you are founded on Christ. And your teaching is Christ's teaching, and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you use the name of Jesus, then it will work. St. Paul was casting demons and everything. And then there was a man called Shiva. He had 7 sons. And they thought, if Paul is doing it, we can do the same thing. And they start casting the devil. And Satan says, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? And devil jump on them, and the word of God said they were wounded and naked, ran for their life. So the point I'm making, there are so many people, they say, we can bind this and we can lose that, but it will not happen until they, using the name of Jesus and living in Christ. Okay, verse 20.
Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ.
Now, somebody takes this scripture, maybe Jehovah's Witnesses or maybe somebody, and say, see, Jesus Christ says in the Bible, you should not be telling anybody that Jesus is the Christ. And so that's why we are not a Christ witness. We are witnesses of Jehovah. Because Jesus Christ says, don't witness about me, don't tell anybody about this. But they cannot take this one scripture and make their theory. What Jesus said, go to the Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Now here is clearly he said, you should be witness of me. Tell about me to other people. And you start from Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. So he gave the authority to do it, but he says, wait until you receive the power, the Holy Spirit. And now, why this time he said, don't tell anybody? Because this was his final days. And so people wanted to kill him. And they didn't want Jesus Christ, Messiah, or their leader, or their king. And so he said, right now, don't tell anybody. Wait for the timing. And that's why he told them, don't tell anybody right now. Wait for the right timing. And after the day of Pentecost, let's read the book of Acts chapter 4. When the Peter and John, they did miracle. The lame man got healed. And he starts testifying. And many people start believing what Peter and John were saying, but the Pharisees didn't like it. Book of Acts chapter 4, starting from verse 18.
And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye.
See, here the same thing. These Pharisees start saying, don't talk about Jesus, don't take the name of Jesus. And if somebody would have said, hey, see, Jesus said the same thing, we should keep our mouth shut, what would happen? Christianity will be completely closed. They knew the commandment of Jesus Christ, that you have to go and tell the whole world. That's why Peter says, we should listen to you or we listen to God. You judge yourself. And so they could not say, don't listen to God. And so their mouth was shut. Go back to the Matthew chapter 16, verse 21.
From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day.
Now, when the Peter and other disciples came to know he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, and Messiah means anointed, and he is going to be killed. And so when they openly confess, then Jesus start teaching them what's going to happen to Messiah, what's going to happen to Jesus. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and the elders, they are going to arrest me, and they are going to kill me, and I'm going to die, they are going to bury me, and third day, I'll rise again. Now, Jesus Christ said very good things. If you would have said, they are going to kill me and bury me, then you have something to say, well, we are not going to allow anybody to kill you. But he says, I will rise again. That's the miracle. You remember the Lazarus was sick, and his sister said, you love the Lazarus so much, so please come, he's sick. Jesus didn't come. When he didn't come, people were so angry what kind of love he has and what kind of man he has. Even though we send a message and he didn't listen to our messages, so he doesn't care about us, and all kinds of things they might have said. But Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection, I am the life. And he raised the Lazarus after 4 days. So if you would have said, okay, I'm coming and heal the Lazarus, that won't be a great miracle, it won't be a little miracle. But bringing the Lazarus from the grave after 4 days, that's the greatest miracle. So that's why Jesus Christ was saying, I'm going to die, they bury me, I will rise again. Okay, verse.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.
Now Peter showed a lot of love for Christ. Now, he said, Jesus, we love you so much. We don't want something bad happening to you. We don't want somebody killing you. This should not happen to you. So, I am just wishing this will not happen to you. And this is our desire. Jesus Christ would have said, oh, you people love me so much. I'm so uplifted. Jesus didn't say like that. Few minutes ago, Jesus Christ said, you know, Peter, What you said, I am a son of God and I am a Messiah, this was not revealed by the flesh, but it was revealed by God. But now see what Jesus Christ is going to say to Peter. Verse 23.
But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
See, few seconds ago, he said, God revealed something, you got a revelation, I'm going to build the church on that foundational teaching what you're saying. But now, they were thinking, Jesus Christ can defeat these enemies and establish his kingdom right now. That's what their idea was. They didn't want him to die and rise again and all of those things. They wanted him to establish kingdom right away. So they didn't understand. And another thing Jesus Christ is saying, you know what? You're thinking so much about yourself, flesh. You don't want to get hurt. You don't want me to get hurt. And your mind is a physical. So the people sometimes think so much about their physical body. Me and me and me. What I want to eat, what I want to wear, what I want to do. Everything about me. And that is all from the enemy. The enemy gives this kind of ideas. Selfish things doesn't come from God. Selfish things comes from the enemy. Sounds good sometimes, but they bite you like a snake later on, or bring death and destruction later on. And so each and everything what Satan gives sounds good, feels good, but the later on you see destruction come to that person. Okay, verse 24.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me.
That's why Jesus Christ said, Okay, Peter, you love yourself so much, I want you to deny yourself. That means don't love to your body, your life, so much. Because here we're living in this earth. How long we are going to live? Somebody will say, okay, we'll live 200 years. Now they have pills and all kinds of medicine. They say, we can live 200 years easily. Okay, after that what? After 200 years what? You cannot live here forever without God's grace or without God's power. And so, in this world, you can get any kind of good food, good rest, good doctor, everything, but one day will come and the person has to die. And so he says, don't think too much about yourself. Read the verse 25.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
So he said, you thinking about yourself, you're going to lose your life. One day will come, you will die, and you'll go to hell. But if you take your cross and follow me, that means you suffer for my sake, then you have chances to have eternal life. And at that time, I don't think they understood anything what he was saying. But Jesus Christ simply saying, don't love worldly thing, yourself, your mother, father, brother, sister, whoever it is. Don't love them more than God.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.